We don't have very much time, so let me try to move on and really cover as much ground as we can. The basic question we're going to talk about, those of you who heard Dr. Twersky in, over the breakfast, really will actually touch upon some of the areas that he spoke. And last year, when I gave my presentation, the topic was, how do I know that my child is a good person? And I'm going to go take that further, about educating towards ethical sensitivity in general. And the opening question, obviously, is something that Dr. Twersky alluded to, is ethics, if we're educating towards ethical sensitivity, is ethics a supralegal realm? Is it additional to halacha, or is it an essential and integral dimension of Torah? Obviously, I would try to show that it's the second, and that's really what we have to educate towards. Now, let me start by proving that it is, that ethics is really an integral part, as Dr. Twersky was alluding to, of what Torah is all about. Now, let's start with the following. We know that the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with Klal Yisrael started on Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Aseres HaDibros. Now, Chazal tell us that he went around to all the nations of the world. He asked this one, do you want to take the Torah? Do you want to accept the Torah? So he said, what does it say in it? Lo Sirtza. Now, we can't do that. Right? The other one, Lo Signo. That's not for us. Okay, let me ask you a very basic question. The Ummos Ha'olam, the nations of the world, are chayiv in sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. And they're obligated in the seven Noahic laws. So let's go through the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach and the Aseres HaDibros. Aseres HaDibros starts out with Enochi Hashem Elokecha, L'yilcha L'himacherim Alponai. One of the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach is Avodah Zarah, not to believe in Avodah Zarah. They had to do it anyway. One of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is Birkas Hashem, which is more or less touching upon that. Kabbidus Avicha V'Simecha is not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but we know Chazal tell us that the Ummos Ha'olam, the nations, were more sensitive to it than we are. For example, Chazal give the example of Dama ben Nesina. Right, they give the example of Esav. Esav's exemplary Kibbud Av V'Em. So they're quite comfortable with Kibbud Av V'Em. Right? Lo Sirtzach, one of the Sheva Shir Chasam, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noah. Lo Sinav, Ili Arayos, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noah. Right? Lo Sigzal, Gezel, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noah. Lo Sachmod, Gezel Arayos, also included in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So I think the only mitzvah, the only of the Aseres HaDibros that's purely for Klal Yisrael is actually Shabbos. Okay, good. That's an Os B'nei Yevei B'nei Yisrael. But it's not that they can't keep a day off. It's just that the halacha is that Akum Sheshavas on Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. They have their Sunday. So what was their problem? Why couldn't they accept the Torah? They basically had to do it anyway. Right? And I think the answer to that is something that is given by people. But the answer is as follows. It says by Har Sinai that there were kolos of rokim v'kol shofar, Moshe yedaber v'likim yanenu b'kol. But Moshe yedaber, we can understand. Moshe spoke the Aseres HaDibros. But what is Elikim Yanenu Bikol? What does that mean? He responded with a voice. What voice? So Rashi says it was like the voice of Moshe. That's the voice of Moshe. But I try to show one time in an article in Jewish Thought, which we spoke about, that the yeshiva published jointly with the OU for a period of over 10 years, an article called Shol and Amalek, that there's a distinction between Dibur and Kol. For example, Shol says, he tells Shmuel after he destroyed Amalek, but basically left over some cattle and left over a goat, says, Shemati is Devar Hashem. I listen to the voice of Hashem. So Shmuel tells him, Lama l'shamata b'kol Hashem. Why didn't you hear the kol Hashem? And we find a number of times there, the dichotomy between kol and dibur. What does it mean? So I try to show that dibur is the objective halacha, the objective statement. Kol means a sensitivity to the spirit of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. That's the difference between dibur. Shaul says, Shemati is Devar Hashem. I destroyed Amalek. He says, you didn't catch the spirit of it. Right? You didn't destroy the cattle right away. Adaptor would have destroyed the cattle. Right? He would have brought them as kabbalas. He also would have died. But you didn't catch the spirit of it. Right? So I want to suggest that when it says that Moshe Yadaber, Belekim Yanenu Bekol, that the Naseris Adibris is much more than Dibur, than the objective laws that are stated within. There's a kol, there's a spirit of the laws. And when you capture, when you're talking about the Naseris Adibris, you're not only talking about the objective laws, but you're talking about the spirit of it as well, as I will demonstrate further as we go on. And Mamela, what the Ummah Sa'olam was saying, you know, we can barely manage with Lo Sirtzach. Right? Or we can barely manage with Lo Signal. But you can expect of us also the spirit of the Aseres HaDibros. Like Rav Twersky spoke about, Kol HaKoes Ke'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. That's not for us. If we have to also capture not only the actual halacha itself, but the spirit of the halacha, not for us. We can't do it. We barely manage with the halacha itself, with the statements itself, which are part of the Sheva Mitzvahs, but you know what? But we have a hard time with that. Okay? And I want to demonstrate to what degree it is really true that what the Torah expects of us is not just the objective halacha, but the spirit of the halacha as well. Okay? And we know the famous Ramban and Kedoshim Tiyu, that what does Kedoshim Tiyu mean? Be holy. How are you holy? How do you get to be holy? So Rashi has his chat. He talks about it's refraining from arayos. Ramban says, no, that's not the case. He says, what does it mean to be holy? It means to be precious is what's mentioned, the Chachamim are always called Perushim. The Tamid Chachamim were called the Pharisees. Perushim. What does it mean, Perushim? That means that they, in every instant, tried to be as far removed of things that really they should not be doing as possible. And therefore, he coins his famous phrase that a person could follow the Torah 100%. But he could still be a novel b'shus ha-Torah. He could be a disgusting person with the reshus of the Torah. Right? Torah tells you you can't eat certain things, so he gorges himself with things that are kosher. Okay? Or the Torah never says clearly you can't talk nivul peh, foul language. And he doesn't. Okay? Didn't do anything that's clearly prohibited in the Torah. But the Ramban says he's still a novel b'shus ha-Torah. He's a disgusting person, even though he's doing it b'shus HaTorah. But the question still begs itself, if it's not mentioned in the Torah specifically, how do I know that I'm a novel if I do it? Right? So if you look at that Ramban, and I have to admit that I've taught this Ramban many times, and I've gone over this Ramban many times, it probably took me reading it over 30 times before I realized what the Ramban is ultimately saying. And he makes a remarkable, remarkable statement, remarkable, remarkable points. And if you look at him carefully, what he says is as follows. Yeah, truly, truly amazing. Okay? What he says is, you know, we think the Torah tells you you can't eat this thing, it's not kosher, you can't eat that thing, it's not kosher, so on and so forth. You have to chef before you eat. That's what the Torah tells you. So what the Ramban says is, no, 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 you're making a mistake. It's true that is what the Torah tells you. But if the Torah tells you certain things you can eat, or under certain conditions you can eat it, certain things you cannot eat, what the Torah is really telling you is that in the realm of food, the Torah expects control. It's not a free-for-all. and a free for all. Right? So the Torah ashes at some parts of that area, some areas within what you can take in food-wise or not. It means the Torah expects control in the realm of eating. How much control? Okay, that's already dependent on how much that individual person strives for Kedusha and strives for perfection. So the Pharisees, the Purushim, went all the way. They would really be very careful in this area. They realized they would eat only as much as they need to be able to retain themselves. The Ramban, if you look carefully, says, if the Torah says a person can be with his wife, there are certain people he can marry, and Arayos he can't marry. So it's not just telling you that this is Mutter and this is us. What the Torah is telling you is that in that realm of relationships, the Torah expects control. It's not a free-for-all. And once it's not a free-for-all, the person himself has to become sensitive to that. How far do you take it? Okay, that itself is really dependent on the Kedusha, on the Kedusha level that that person is trying to strive. But that's why if a person is always around his own wife, sometimes I'll say, that's Novel Bishus HaTorah. That's what the Ramban says. That's not what the Torah wanted of you. Right? It's an area that demands control. If the Torah tells you, L'selech rochel b'mecha, v'ashekeh tirchak, so it's telling you, you can't say this, you can't say that, so on and so forth. But says the Ramban, it's much more than that. What the Torah is telling you is that the realm of speech requires control. It's not a free-for-all. It's not a free-for-all. So even though the Torah may never tell you that you can't speak profane language, but if the Torah tells you that the realm of speech is something that's not a free-for-all, so if a person with any seichel, any sensitivity, right, will realize, come on, you know, if I speak a foul language, of course the Torah doesn't want that. And if I do it, even though there's nothing that technically prohibits it, but I'm a novel bishus HaTorah, I'm a disgusting person, even though it's something that the Torah doesn't ask. And that's really a remarkable statement that the Ramban is making. And what it means is, and this is something we have to educate our kids towards, that don't think that the realm of halacha is really what you're obligated in. And anything else, okay, you know, that's ethics. It's true it's ethics, but the Torah demands ethics. The Torah tells you that a certain realm, if certain things are usser and certain things are mutter, it means that the Torah is telling you that realm is not a free-for-all. Okay? How much, how far you go, so Chazal say that there were certain Amorayim that never said a loud word in their life. They always speak softly, never say anything with a loud voice. Okay? That's an Amora, striving for the ultimate in Kedusha, the ultimate of perfection. But each one of us has to realize that where the Torah, what the Torah is telling you is way beyond the actual halakhah itself. The Torah is expecting conduct in a certain area and is telling you certain areas just are not out of control and really are not a free-for-all, and you have to be able to try to strive for much, much more than the actual halakhah is. That's ethical sensitivity. And that's a little bit of what Dr. Tversky was talking about, that if we realize that that is really part of the Torah, so we become very, very different people. And that's true in the realm of Ben Adam HaChavero, and it's certainly true in the realm of Ben Adam HaMakom. In the realm of Ben Adam LeMakom, that's what the Ramban talks about when he talks about Kedoshim to you. But there's another Ramban that's very similar to the Ramban and Kedoshim to you. It says almost the same thing. Right, but he's speaking about more in the realm of Ben Adam HaChavero is the Ramban in Devarim, Vav Yutches, so Sisa HaYosher VaHatov Ve'Eine Yashem Lekecha. It's already right before that says keep the mitzvot and the chukim and the mishpatim. So why very next pasuk with Sisa HaYosher VaHatov Ve'Eine Yashem Lekecha? Okay, if we do the mitzvot, the chukim and the mishpatim, aren't we doing the Yosher VaHatov Ve'Eine Yashem? The Ramban says almost the same thing. Right? Because once the Torah tells you certain things about how to behave towards your fellow man, it's telling you that it's really expecting much, much more than that. You have to sensitize yourself, right, on how far it can go. Right? And that is really a lot of what ethical sensitivity is all about. Now, my topic is not just ethical sensitivity, defining ethical sensitivity, it's educating towards ethical sensitivity. How do we do that? Okay, so this touches upon something that I spoke about last year. I think we can, at least in the realm of Ben Adam Lechaveiro, we can sensitize even young kids to where they stand. How are they good people, or are they not good people? Now let me try to explain, okay? There's a mission in Pirkei Avos, coming from the States to Israel, not kept track where Pirkei Avos is at. I think it's in the fifth parak. Any case, the Mishnah says, Arba Midos Ba'adam. There are four different types of people. So the Mishnah starts out, if somebody says, Shali, Shali, U'shalcha, Shalcha. Mine is mine, but it's yours is yours. That sounds reasonable. So the Mishnah says, Zumi Debeninus. That's a middle of the road approach. However, there's another opinion in the Mishnah that Zumida Sedom. You're a Sedomite if you act that way. If you're not willing to do chesed, mine is mine and yours is yours, if you do that constantly, that's no good. And we halachically paskin kofin amida sedom. By the way, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Sparrow of Ruppel, once wrote an article, is there an ethic independent of halacha? But what he really meant is in a more technical sense. In other words, does the halacha mandate anything other than pure halacha? And he tries to show that sometimes yes. For example, we paskin kofin amida sedom. I can't say Shali, shali, shalcha, shalcha. We can force you not to act that way. And actually, the Gemara has categories of that. For example, zenene v'zelochasa. Let's say I'm traveling late at night. I need a place to stay, right? And I see that somebody has a room. And I know that he never rents that room. Just standing there open. And I go in and I stay there. The next day, does he have a right to charge me, or does he not have a right to charge me? So the halacha is that one opinion is, yeah, it's his property, he has a right to charge me. Okay? But the Gemara says, no. If he doesn't stand to lose anything, and you stand to gain, then it is elochaser, that's a sedomite, not willing to do chesed. The Gemara says, kofin amid, that's sedom. You can force him to allow the person to stay there without charge. Again, like always, halacha is what happens if it's a new house, let's say. Nobody's ever entered there. Good, we're not going to get into these details. But on a basic level, the halacha is that I can force somebody to act beyond the level. It's mine, but how can I not do chesed? Now, the halacha is, let's say, if he sees me at night, he can tell me, well, you can stay there, but I'll charge you. You can make it into a hotel. But once he didn't already, the next morning, the halacha is kofir amidus. That's shali shali, v'shalcha shalcha, which is the same thing as these two categories. Exactly the same as the categories in this halacha. Gemara says if somebody says shali shalcha shalcha shali, that's amaris. What does that mean? The Torah is basically about, it's talking about property rights. All of Choshen Mishpat talks about property rights. So in other words, communism, mine is yours and yours is mine, that's silly. That's amar. The Gemara says that somebody says shali, shalcha, right? Shalcha, shalcha. That's chassid. And the Gemara has many categories. It's called midas chassidus. Example of certain cases that somebody broke a person's barrels, and he certainly should have been able to charge them for the damage they did him, but he knows that they're dependent on a salary, and he pays them anyway. That's a category of midas chassidus, which is shali shalcha and shalcha shalcha. And then there's a fourth category of shali shali and shalcha shali. Where it says that's Russia. Okay? So we would think, what does that mean? What's the case of shali shali, mine is mine and yours is mine? A thief. Right? A thief. Mine is mine and yours is mine. But it's very interesting, the Gemara, I spoke about that last year, has says, called something else a rush. Ani mahapet b'charav. The case is basically as follows. I'm walking along, classic case of Gemara is it's a poor person, but it's not only by a poor person. I'm walking along and I see a good box of food, cake or whatever it is. Somebody obviously was left it, you know, and it's half there on the ground. And I'm about to go over and take it, and somebody else rushes and beats me out, and he picks it up first. Okay? Who does it belong to? So it's not so simple in the Oskim, but basically, the law, many hold that I'm bucked back. If I just see something by Hefter, I don't acquire it. So the person who picked it up, that's who it belongs to. So how could that be? Legally, it's his. Halachically, it's his. But he's a Russian. How's that possible? Okay. The answer is, you see something very important in terms of these Arba Midos Ba'adam. We're not talking about halachic categories. We're talking about mindsets. What different types of people? What's his mindset? So this person, I see somebody about to pick it up, and I rush, and I grab it first. It may legally be mine. But what was my mindset in doing that? My mindset was a shali shali, the shalcha shali mindset. So you're a Russian. You're a Russian. It has nothing to do with pure halacha. Okay? So these are certain basic categories of what type of person you are. And I give a Rosh Chodesh Hashkafish here in the yeshiva, and one of my topics is exactly that. How do I know I'm a good person? Okay, and this is what I do, these four Mishnahs. And I tell them, where do you think you belong? So nobody ever, they don't think, kids don't think about that. So I tell them, what about the following? You know, there's a Torah noon. They have to take turns cleaning up by lunch. So there's some kids, lunch is also the time they play ball, they have intramural, you know, basketball, whatever. And there's a kid who just loves to play ball. So he said, you know, I'll go play ball with the other three out of the four. The other guys will take care of my, you know, my turn. What's his mindset? Right? The mindset of shali, shali, shukashu. Right? There are other type of kids who do just the opposite. Because he doesn't like to play ball, so it doesn't bother him if he has to clean up every once in a while. Right? So he says, you know, I know you like to play ball motion. You go play your basketball and I'll take, like, your turn. What's his mindset? Obviously, his mindset is one of shalish, mindset of a chassid. And there are some, we're not going to do one, we're not going to do the other. Okay, so they're in the middle. So I found that kids just don't think in those categories, usually. But once you teach them this mission, and you make them aware of these categories of behavior, they really do become very sensitive. Right? Again, I'm not saying on a deep level, I'm not saying at a very deep level, and like all areas of halacha, you have to take sometimes certain circumstances into account, but on a just a very natural, simple way, they really do become sensitive, and they start thinking of themselves, hey, wait a second, I didn't realize that. That that's where I am. I can't do that. I'm not a Russian. Okay. So that's a start. If you make them sensitive to who they are, or what they are, what they're thinking of. Of course, the classic case of that, of Mifa Russia, is if somebody's pulling into a parking place, then you grab it. You know, that's the case. Yeah? You know. By the way, in general, when it comes to driving, you know, you have to be very careful, like where exactly, you know, somebody wants to get into your lane, you don't allow them, like, what type of person are you? What's your mindset? And that's a very, very important start to training people ethically, that he should become sensitive to where his mindset is. And again, on a simplistic level, I'm not saying it's a very deep level, but it works, because how it works, and it changes people. And I saw certain kids, after that, would never allow another person, another kid to take his, you know, to take his turn instead of it. that's certainly a start in terms of training people towards ethical sex. Of course, it's important that we teach such a Ramban. But the Ramban is telling you, halacha isn't just halacha. If the Torah prohibits certain type of behavior in certain areas, it means the Torah expects that that those areas are not a hefker. It's not a free-for-all. Once you know it's not a free-for-all, so you realize that, you know, if I go and gorge myself, like in good kosher, but I'm sitting there literally gorging myself, is that proper behavior? Well, it's not us, sir. Ramban says, no, you're wrong. The Torah expects also kedoshim to you. The Torah tells you certain things are mutati, certain things are osati. Means the Torah expects kedusha in that realm. And therefore, how far you take it, so you figure it out for yourself. Where are you at or where do you want to be at? Right? And so on and so forth. The area of speech. And there also, once you become sensitive to the values that the Ramban is teaching you, you certainly become a ethically sensitive person on a much different level than what you started on. Same thing with the Ramban and the Sisa Yashar Latot. And as a follow-up, when kids get older, what you really have to do is have to teach sugyas or halachas. Again, sugyas is problematic because yeshivas are oriented towards traditional Gemara learning. Right? But to give a halacha seder in these realms of, let's say, shali shali shachachacha, zenen of the chaser, and all these areas, chaser, Russia, so on and so forth, so a person will realize, hey, this is part of halacha. Right? Now, why is it called extra legal? So it's called Rufnim Nishur Sadin. So it could very well be, again, where you're at, how far you're going to take it, that's really up to you. Sometimes it's halachically chazal enforce it, like Kofar and Midas Adom. Sometimes they don't enforce it. But that doesn't mean that it's not part of Torah. And it doesn't mean that that's something that you're not supposed to still have to strive for. And not only is it a matter of striving for it, but it is actually an integral part of Torah. And you have to realize that. That if you are at a certain level, you're not doing these things, so on your level, you're another Bishop. If we can teach the basic sensitivity of where I stand as a person, you know, am I a middle-world person? Am I a very good person? Do I do conduct that really would make me sort of in the realm of a Russian? Right? I'm more concerned about myself than the other person. And if we start training, realizing that the Torah doesn't just give us objective halacha. That's why the Aseres Hadibros, the Ummah Solom couldn't keep it even though they have Shevet Mitzvot. For them, what's expected is pure halacha. No more. And that's hard enough of it. For us, what's expected is far beyond, like what Tversky spoke about. You know, they call it koes ki'il oved avodizar. That's a realm of halacha that a person has to be sensitive to, even if there's no objective halacha that tells you that kola koes is actually avodizar. If we can do that and do it successfully, I think that chinuch will be a totally different chinuch. We'll be training kids to be much more sensitive to things than they were previously. And I don't think we would be embarrassed as often as, unfortunately, our world confronts type of embarrassment. Yeah.
Go ahead.